What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is Friday, May 9th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We got to talk about Dean Kramer, otherwise known as Dean Wolf, because he's a werewolf. He shows up once a month and is great. And yeah, that is what he did yesterday. Seven innings of 200 runs, two walks and eight strikeouts. He had a co-share of the King Cole, which we don't actually normally see. King Cole is a rate stat for CSW, the highest CSW rate. And two pitchers had exactly a 38% CSW across 86 pitches. Pretty fun to see that. Was this a game that Dean Kramer has showcased something new? Because this was the first game, or actually I would say it's the fourth of eight starts, just four of eight starts under 500 runs, and really the best one, the first one with more than six strikeouts. I don't think so. Actually, more than four strikeouts outside of his first game of the year, which was a bad game. This was a game of called strikes on the sinker. 13 over 22 called strikes on his sinker at a 68% CSW is not sustainable. You know this. The Twins were just like, oh, please go right ahead. We don't need this strike. He just did that all day. He had cutters going down away against right-handers, and I'll never do that voice again. This is not going to be sticking around for the next game. He's going to get the Twins again, Dean Kramer. And I imagine you cannot do the same thing you just did. So let's not jump too much into the Dean Kramer train. But props to PLBot once again for having a ridiculous pick for the stream. And it is exactly the right time to do it. Our PLBot is our projection model that is killing it this year with streamers. If you didn't see the tweet about me showcasing how good it's been this year, oh my gosh, it's like it's an ace pitcher, essentially. It's all under 20% rostered. I'm even with PLBot on my streaming pick of the day so far, so it's going to be a good battle once again. Chris Bubich, speaking of a good battle, that didn't happen. No, 7 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Had a co-share of the gallows pull at 16 whiffs. He did exactly what he needed to do against the White Sox. He threw a lot of strikes. The gyro slider against pretty much this all-righty lineup, 7 for 10 strikes. That's cool. The changeup was down. The four-seamer was up and doing great things. We're going against the Astros next. Another right-handed lineup. And yeah, we're going to go with that. We have Brandon Pfaadt against the Dodgers. He got the win. 6.8 innings of 100 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. I'm really tempted to push up Brandon Pfaadt once again. He's become a reliable Holly. And the main difference is that he has a changeup and a curveball to throw against lefties this year. And it's not just the sweeper, four-seamer, sinker mix. So that's a big difference. That changeup really is the bigger one. That was the pitch yesterday that worked against the Dodgers. Sweeper still doing great things against right-handers. He also has a sinker to go inside against right-handers with a four-seamer that actually has a good change of different movement. He has decent extension too. So this whole thing is working with Pfaadt. He's not that potential stud pitcher that a lot of people, I think, thought he could be over time. But Pfaadt is generally more on the side of good command. And he has now a full arsenal to take down both sides of the plate. I'm in for this. I think Pfaadt is just a reliable arm for your leagues right now among a sea of guys that are disappointing, honestly. And it's been really nice having Pfaadt. I just wish that I knew he was going to go changeup curve in the preseason more. And unfortunately, I didn't. So there you go. Brian Baio, disappointing once again. 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This was against the Rangers. Only 3 whiffs and 18% CSW. Just 1 for 14 CSW again with the changeup. 1 for 14 CSW. Not strikes. Not whiffs. Like, oh boy. Sinker at a 52% strike rate. I mean, when those are your foundational pitches, that's not going to be a good night. I am annoyed watching Baio pitch. He's not one of those guys that you see consistently just earn tons of strikes, force guys to put into play and get quickly through games. And it's been that way for a little bit. There are times when he does get into that groove with a really good slider in the mix too, and all three of those pitches are working, but generally he just gets to choose two at most in a game, and I just don't really want to go for it at the moment. You have Kider Montero having a great game against the Rockies. There's a doubleheader, and 8 innings, 100 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. So he gets the gold star because no one expected this. Even though Coors is actually okay to pitch inside of right now because the Rockies lineup is just so bad. But Montero is that guy that they call for a doubleheader and send him back. And this is a birthday party. He comes around once a year, not like the Werewolf, which is once a month. You have Spencer Schwellenbach against the Reds. Very disappointing season in the second half of it so far, because it was really good in the beginning. And then it's been like three starts or maybe four even of just like, hey, are you great still? This was against the Reds. We're trying to figure out a good team. Sorry, a good term for this team on the road. That is the Reds on the road. We have right now Reds light. But then again, that kind of sounds like you should not, because you want to stop. But they're really bad on the road, the Cincinnati Reds. And yeah, he took advantage of this. Six innings, one earned run, five hits, two walks, and six Ks. The Reds are known to take a lot of cold strikes over the plate. We saw Max Meyer just dominate them for 14 Ks. And this was 11 out of 27 four-seamers for called strikes when he threw so many just down the middle of the plate. Just down the pipe in Broadway, down Broadway, all that stuff. Oh my gosh. The splitter, the sinker, and the slider all returned 50% strikes or fewer. And it was still this good of a game because of that. It's kind of wild. The curve carried it massively. It was much better in this one, which is good. And the thing is, I see Schwellenbach as a cutter, curve, slider guy who sometimes has splitters against lefties. And then the four-seamer is supposed to be this pitch that isn't pulling in the entire arsenal forward and picking up the slack. That's the one that's supposed to be the surprise to just make sure that he can get to the other ones. And that's really been the difference this year for Schwellenbach, is that he's actually improved that fastball, but he hasn't, he's taken steps back with the secondaries. And it's like, no, you just can't get the secondaries back. So Schwellenbach, I just want you to have those secondaries moving forward, and I'm going to be constantly monitoring that. Casey Mize is someone that I think is interesting, because he's had this successful season, and he continued it here in Coors. Again, as I mentioned, pitching Coors is not as scary as it used to be. Six innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, and eight strikeouts. He earned a golden goal, but it's the first time I've ever seen that, where he has a co-share of the Gallows Pole and the King Cole too. So he kind of like shared it around, you know? A lot of people feel like I'm way too low on Casey Mize, and I think that's pretty interesting, because Mize, yeah, I understand the results have been favorable, but whenever I hear I'm too low on a guy, I never hear the language that I'm talking, if that makes sense. Like, for the most part, sometimes I do, and I'm like, you know what, that's awesome, that's helpful for me. But the reason about Casey Mize is just I hear he's pitching well, the results have been good, and you're too low because of that, and he's just a pitcher or something along those lines. I'm like, okay. I like to think I'm the guy who understands more than the majority of, not just looking at the stats of it and actually understanding if this guy, quote, is a pitcher. Because I focus a lot on command and being able to do what you need to do with your arsenal, and that actually is kind of an intangible that we're trying to quantify better with statistics, but it's still something that can get lost a lot in it. And I watch these guys, and that's why I do that. And with Casey Mize, this is the situation, is that he has a four-seamer that actually should be really good as a foundational pitch, right? It is like 94, 95 that he throws upstairs really well and has 7 feet of extension. Sometimes it gets a good amount of vert, sometimes it doesn't. It should just be a solid four-seamer. And he executed that against the lefty, against lefties beautifully. Like, that pitch was upstairs all the time. The splitter was underneath it really well. Like, how he dealt with lefties was what I want to see from Casey Mize every single game. And if he can do that, I will feel a lot more confident in Casey Mize. Okay? He pitched to that level yesterday against lefties. Against righties, a little weird. The biggest question and concern we've had is that the number three pitch is a shrug. We've seen a slurve, which is sometimes gets called as a sweeper, but then gets changed to slurve, I guess, and also a slider. And both of those pitches are just kind of strange. I don't think they're really that good. I think the ones he threw here were better than usual, going away for the most part against right-handers. The four-seamer was not well spotted. The splitter isn't really there. And it's not a strong approach, really, against right-handers. That's the biggest question. Also, we normally don't see that lefty approach that we saw, or at least execution. Because a splitter, like, it can be very good, and we want to think that Mize's splitter is above average, but it is a very volatile number two pitch. It's much more volatile than a traditional slider, for example. So even a traditional changeup. This is really the root of why I'm not as high as others on Casey Mize. If you want to say he's a top 50 pitcher for the rest of the season, you do you. I get that. I'm going to go favor the guys that have more proven stuff to earn strikeouts and have the clearer path to becoming something that is a consistent six inning, 25% strikeout arm. I don't think that Casey Mize is that guy. I do recognize that in your leagues, you're not dropping him at the moment. So totally understand it either way. And do not rate this one too highly because it is the Coors. It is like the Rockies offense that is just so bad right now. I mean, Keydear Montero just won 8 innings of 1 run. Okay, we have more to talk about, including a pitcher or two who had 1 run, but is it okay as well? We're going to talk about them and many more after this break. Ryan Pepiot against the Phillies, 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Yeah, good and bad. The good side is that this was against the Phillies, and you survived, and I really think you would. The bad is that it was a 22% CSW with 7 whiffs, and he did not look good. There were some fastballs that were great. None of his pitches, none of them, held a 60% strike rate. He had only 2 walks. And that's because really what happened is that he was messing around in at bats, and finally he would throw a fastball and the Phillies would be aggressive on it and then it would be an out. That's pretty much what happened a lot here. The changeup and slider combined for 40 pitches and just 3 whiffs. That is a, what, 8% swinging strike rate? Oh my gosh. This is your changeup and slider. They're supposed to be both above 20%. The fastball being really bad, then really good, really bad, then really good. It's still a very good shape fastball. I think his command is generally better on the four-seamer, and even when he executed inside the zone, it was good. But it's really frustrating. He's like a cherry bomb. You're not going to drop him. He's turning into a hipster a little bit, heading-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. And I'm saying this even though he gave you production, right? You're not dissatisfied with this one. But it's just, dude, you should be so good. You know, it's really annoying to watch it. And maybe he is just a piece, a poor execution, awesome stuff guy. But he doesn't feel as far away as those, hey, just throw down the middle kind of pitchers. Ryan Pepiot has showcased that really good command more often than it. And I can't remove myself from the fact that, like, at some point I feel he's going to click into that and be way, way better. I don't know. I am going to lower him on the list despite this, and it might not make a lot of sense to people, but I hope what I just said made sense, because guys, it's not about the line. It's about the process. Okay. Bailey Ober against the Orioles, 5 innings, 1 run, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. You're happy to see the strikeouts. You're happy to see 1 run, 5 innings, 8 hits, because yeah, he didn't pitch well either. He had Koufax help him out here a little bit, even though he was singled out. The timing of everything was very helpful for him. He saw so many heaters at 90 miles per hour down the middle of the plate, and he really can't afford to do that at 90 miles per hour, where it's an extension-based thing. You've got to make sure that works upstairs. The changeup was floated a lot, or missed way out of the zone, not a consistent pitch. And the slider still has a lot of hard contact to righties. He got away with these fastballs, I think. This is not a good start from Ober, but I'm glad he survived. Nick Lodolo, I think, actually pitched really well against Atlanta. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Lots of sinkers to lefties, which is kind of interesting because I think the curveball is better, but he got away with that against Atlanta. But against right-handers, the four-seamer and curve did a great job. Changeup wasn't really present. It was okay. The other things were working. I see why he didn't do it. But yeah, the curve missing bats and the four-seamer missing bats is a good sign. Jesus Luzardo didn't actually pitch that well against the Rays, but this is kind of the big difference from previous Luzardo, is that when he has an off day like he did with the Giants, it wasn't 5-plus earned runs. It was 2 earned runs, 5.1 innings of 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Just a lot of his pitches not really having the best command, and so it goes. He gets the Cardinals next. That should be fine. You have Jose Soriano against the Jays. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. The slider against the righty showed up and he had 4 over 14 whiffs, but it's not a strike pitch. It's 43% strikes. That's not cool. The sinker is going more inside to righties, but it's not quite there yet. I think the curveball was really good, though. I think he did fine against lefties. Like, this is better than the 12 base runners, you think. And, it's both. It's like, I like it better against righties. The slider missed out of the zone. I take that back about lefties. He really did throw some really bad pitches against them. It's a better performance that we've seen from Soriano. But yeah, it's not perfection, of course. And it might be something that we struggle with all year. I remember last year, there's so many games where he just kind of just nailed that sinker and curveball. And that's what made him someone that we really liked. And we're hoping to see in the next step. But I turned away from him in the preseason saying, like, look, that was what we're hoping to see again, because I don't really think that slider is going to be that big strike pitch again. And it hasn't been so far. Tanner Gordon against the Tigers. You don't know who he is. He was pitching for this one for the Rockies because of the doubleheader. And yay. He throws 92 mile per hour, four seamers. That's it. Changeup can work at 6 over 28 whiffs. We don't like Tanner Gordon. It's Coors is undefeated. Chris Bassett against the Angels. 6 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Sorry, yeah, 6 strikeouts. We saw a ton of sinkers. 73% usage against right-handers is just what? There were a pair of home runs that really ruined this outing. But this actually was pretty good because that sinker cooked against right-handers. Bassett is best when the curve and cutter are also there. I know he's known as a kitchen sink guy, but really it's sinker, cutter, curve. And then you have the other ones kind of mixed in a little bit. And so you need to see all three pitches really working. For the most part, they were here. It's just those home runs. So I think Bassett's fine. He is what he is. Jack Leiter didn't do well in Fenway. 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. And what I normally say is that, oh yeah, you need to get more strikes on your pitches. All of his pitches had over a 60% strike rate. The real problem, well, two of them. One, the slider was not located well. It was over the plate, but it wasn't in a place that you would. He's scaring batters. He's quivering. They're making them. Oh my gosh, Jack Leiter isn't making batters quiver in their boots as he didn't throw the slider down and away on it. Also, the four seamer erratic. It was right at 60% strikes. That needs to be the foundational piece. It needs to be the overwhelming 70% strike pitch, always there, and then the slider is just, oh my gosh, okay. That kind of thing, with the changeup and the curve also around. So 1 out of 19 whiffs on the slider is pretty much there. Change and curve combined went 1 for 12 on their own. Jack Leiter's still working this out. It's more like the Jack Leiter we saw last year, honestly, at this point. And hopefully he does turn it around, but I'm not going to hold my breath for it at the moment. He really needs to get the engine revving. He's not as like the fresh spring guy that we saw before. He's now trying to find all that back. I don't know how long that's going to take. Davis Martin against the Royals, 4.1 innings, a 4 run, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. Yeah, he's not what you want. Kyle Freeland, obviously, we don't want to keep going after Kyle Freeland. This was in Coors and bad against the Tigers. And then Yoshinobu Yamamoto allowed a grand slam in the second inning and then was great for four other innings. I mean, that's just how it goes. You just have a bad inning. So what? 5 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I believe that grand slam doubled his ERA. Like he had 4 runs before and then it. And then he had 8 after that or something like that. But it's still under 2 because he was under 1 before. We're not going to do anything about Yamamoto. All right, that is it for this episode of the Plus Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.